Well, I told somebody a few minutes ago, I said, well, I'll probably have y'all so messed up you won't know exactly what is going on as David and I do things a little differently. I've gotten to be very fond of David. Met him right when he first came here and sort of adopted him since their parents are not here, so... Then they got a new pastor at St. John's, another young man, and I adopted him too. So, you know, some people gather up stray animals. I seem to gather up stray creatures. But both of them are fine young men, and I am privileged to know them and to serve the Lord with them. Where is your faith? That's a question that we ask ourselves frequently, I think. Things happen. Things come about. Our life changes. And we ask, where is my faith? So it really is a fundamental question. That's the question we're going to explore today for a few minutes. We know that Jesus most always used questions like this one when he preached and when he taught. He used them to make the disciples and those listening to him think. Think about their own faith. And to show the way for personal transformation. Hopefully, that's what each one of us will accomplish during this wonderful season of Lent. I hope we will all think about and pray about and study our own personal transformation and going forward after Easter with a stronger faith. We get so excited about Christmas and Advent. And we decorate and we run around and we cook and we bake and we wrap and we decorate some more. But you know, Lent really is more important to the Christian faith than is Advent. Without Easter, the crucifixion, the resurrection, Christmas wouldn't matter at all. And Jesus would have just been another poor little Jewish child born to poor parents that nobody ever knew anything about. So we sort of, oh, we say during Lent, I'm going to give up chocolate for Lent. I never say that because I can't do it. I'm going to give up coffee for Lent. Can't do that either. We always think of giving up something, but we never think about the possibility of Lent, of taking something on, starting something new in our life. In the life of our church, in our personal lives, in the life of the community. Romans chapter 8 moves to a grand climax that we read this morning of assurance of salvation and of sanctification. Romans is the greatest book or letter that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. Just as the book of John, which is probably my favorite book in the whole Bible, is reputed to be the greatest of the four Gospels, the book of Romans is reputed to be the greatest of the 14 epistles. Romans is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote and was written to the church in Rome. He was about 55 or 60, just a child. And he was a seasoned Christian. And it's the summation of his theology. the book of Romans is about ideas. And in chapter 8, there are 21 references to the Spirit. It's like the floodgates of Paul's soul and his heart have been opened, and the Spirit of Christ comes flooding out for the world to see. There are 16 chapters in the book of Romans, and right there in the middle, there is this grand and glorious summation of all that Paul has been trying to say for his many years of teaching. He asked in this passage 5 rhetorical questions. And they're questions that he asked just like Jesus did in several ways. And they're asked in such a way that the answers are obvious. So obvious that the questions draw you into the conclusion that he wants you to have. And I'm going to make them shorter, but I want to tell you or remind you of those 5 questions. And there's one in each verse from 31 to 35. The first one is, if God is for us, who is against us? The second one is, if God graciously gave his son for us, will he not freely give us all things? The third question Paul asks, who will bring any change against God's elect? That's us. The fourth question is, who shall condemn us? And the final question is, who shall separate us from Christ? We have kind of a hard time. Back in Christ's day, he was right there. He was a living, breathing, walking around person. You could touch him. You could talk to him. You could ask him questions. We don't have that privilege. It's harder for us to keep our faith strong. But the amazing thing is that all of these things that were written in Scripture was written by God's hand, knowing that there would be many, 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 many generations of people who were not blessed to have lived in Christ's day. We can't say, oh, I hear that Jesus is preaching over here at Fishersville tomorrow night. Y'all want to go? I hear he's a great speaker. No, we have to believe that he's sitting in these pews this morning. That he's in our car with us when we're driving home. That he's sitting on the edge of our bed at night when we say our prayers. Today we're going to look at only one, since I know y'all don't want to be here till 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon. I know they used to have, all day meetings and dinner on the grounds. So I'm just going to pick one of these questions this morning, and we're going to look at that one for a few minutes. And it's the last question that comes in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul then goes on and he describes 7 types of trauma that we think would normally separate us from the love of God. One is trouble. We all have troubles with our bodies, our minds, our families, our jobs, our marriages, our church. If you don't have any troubles today, if you think this is a day to go to the beach and have a picnic, just wait. They'll be here. They always are. Tomorrow, those troubles will come. Then there's hardship. Life is hard, very hard for all people sometimes during their earthly life. Nowhere in the Bible does God tell us that our life is going to be all sunshine and roses. That's why the words are so important to read and to study and to understand. We all have known folks that it seems like their lives are nothing but hardships. Generally, we describe them as having a little black cloud that lives over their head. And I'm sure we've all known people that it just seems to go from one thing to another, to another, to another. And you wonder. And sometimes those people have the strongest faith because they keep on keeping on. And you wonder how they do it. And I'm sure all of us have looked at somebody over the years and said, I don't think I could do that. Boy, their faith must be strong. I don't think I could survive that. So life is a hardship. Then there's persecutions. The earliest Christians were persecuted first by the Jews and then by the Romans for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. Christians have been persecuted at various times for their beliefs, and that is still happening today in many parts of the world. There are even times in this own country right now where we feel, as Christians, we are being persecuted. You know, half of the population of Earth does not have enough food or enough clothing. Half. The lack of clothing and food is a sign of poverty and the lack of resources. Then there's danger. We know that there are all kinds of dangers in this world of ours. Dangers are increased when there is a lack of food and clothing and a person has few resources for protection. And then there's the sword. This refers to war. History has always been filled with wars. And I think, actually, we humans are warring animals. So can all of these different tragedies in our life, or in the life of a loved one, can they separate us from the love of our God? Of course not. The word no resounds through all of history and culture. This is a passage that I read this morning at most funerals that I conduct, and I always add this. The list of woes and miseries that are part of our contemporary human condition today. Every day we deal with friends and loved ones who have been diagnosed with cancer of one kind or another. Can this separate us from the love of God? Can the bombings of the Twin Towers, so many years ago, but still so fresh in all of our minds and our hearts, can that separate us from the love of God? Can the loss of jobs and homes and marriages separate us from the love of God? Can any of these evil things really, really separate us from the love of God? Of course not. There's another little bit of scripture that fits here, and it's from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. And Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So in all of these terrible situations we've been talking about this morning, we're more than conquerors. And we want to focus on that phrase, more than conquerors, more than champions, more than victors, more than prize winners. In all of these nasty situations in life, we are more than conquerors. Through Him who loves us. We are more than victorious when the power of the Spirit of Christ is unleashed. That power in our lives lets us be victorious, and it lets us be strong, successful, even in the face of starvation, hunger, poverty, hardship, dangers, and war. God's Spirit and our faith wraps around our painful problems. Let's look back again for a moment to Romans 5. Paul said that suffering produces endurances, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. What is our attitude toward the pressures and the circumstances and the chances and changes that come in our life? There are some folks out there who whine life away. Oh me, life is so hard. Nobody understands me. Nobody cares. We're like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. And I'm sure we all know somebody like that. Others yield their sorrows to Him and are drawn to a sweeter and a more intimate walk with Christ, stronger in our own faith. They cause us to run to our Savior, knowing His love never fails. God keeps us secure in His love. No one and nothing can sever our relationship with Christ because He will never cease to love us. There is nothing that we can do that will stop our God from loving us. We are each one His children. He may not like us very much from time to time, like we do our own children, and we say, you need to go in the other room for a few minutes. I love you to pieces, but right now I don't like you very much. And I think sometimes God sends us to our room for a few minutes to think. But He never stops loving us. Never. And that's the one thing in this world, no matter what's going on, that's the one thing that we know, we for sure, we can state for a fact. My God loves me. So why, if we can believe that, why should believers fear? God keeps us secure in His love. And what is your response to these pressures in life? We get an entirely different perspective when we bring eternity into the picture. Can you praise God when you are going through the fire? We can when we see Him and His eternal purposes in each of our lives, but it takes prayer and it takes a relationship with God. It takes spending time with God every day. Turn the TV off and the cell phones and the computers and sit in a quiet room and read your scripture and think about it and let God talk to us. Sometimes we run through life so fast that God can't catch us. And I think sometimes that's why we have problems, is that's His way of saying, whoa, stop. Sit here for a minute and let's talk about this. When we start asking ourselves, where is my faith? We also have to look at sanctification. And I used to think, where there is a will, there is a way. We've all heard it, probably said it. But I found that that is the best formula for failure. It is not God helps those who help themselves, but God helps those who cannot help themselves. It's a matter of grace. Neither can we save ourselves nor sanctify ourselves. We can't do it. Again, the Apostle Paul clearly states that only God and God alone can make us holy. God sets us aside for Himself. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 tells us this: how may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely? And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. So the goal of sanctification is to confirm us to the character of Jesus Christ. Everything that happens to believers is to cause us to focus on that supreme goal of the Lord God. The Holy Spirit works in us so that one day He can present us with complete in Jesus Christ. God has selected beforehand the goal toward which He is moving everyone who believes in Christ. No one will get lost in this process. This is God's work. He is responsible for the believer. What God sets out to do, He will complete. We desperately need Christ living His life in and through us. He alone saves and He keeps us. We desperately need each other. We need a body of caring people who love the way Christ loves us. There are hurting people all over this community, watching you and watching me to see how we handle life. We need to always, always demonstrate to a lost community the difference Christ makes in our life and in the lives of all believers. We want them to see and know that we are Christians by His love working itself out in our lives. We are dearly loved. We are completely forgiven and forever set free through Jesus Christ. I want to close today by rereading verse 37 through 39. I want you to do something as I read this. I'm going to read it slowly. I want you to sit quietly. I want you to close your eyes in a prayerful manner. And I want you to let the words that the Apostle Paul wrote sink into your spirit. And this week, when you do your daily devotions, read these verses again. Romans 8:37 through 39. Read it each day. Ponder it. Let it really sink in. So if you will close your eyes. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present or things to come, not powers, not height, not depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of our God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.